Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome into your 5 o'clock hour. It is really good to be with you here. It's great to have you along, and we got open lines for the entire hour. 888-957-9570. I can tell you that coming up tomorrow in this hour, in your 5 o'clock hour, for your Thursday commute, I'm going to have a conversation with Steph Curry. I'm heading over to Warriors practice tomorrow. So in about 24 hours from right now, make sure you're here to say hello to Steph Curry on the Damon Bruce Show. We're saying hello to Matt Kolsky, who's here today. We're going to be saying hello to everyone who wants to play the name game. We're going to be doing that at 6 o'clock, and we've got Black Keys tickets at Chase Center. You can win them before they even go on sale. That is going to go ahead and happen in about an hour from now. We're also going to talk to Chris Rose next hour about baseball and the NFL. So an awful lot here coming up on 95.7 The Game. Warriors looked good last night. Warriors got the job done last night. Warriors went to Minnesota. The ball was hopping around, 39 assists on 44 made field goals. Steph Curry started feeling it in the third quarter, where he dropped 22 of his 36 points. Gold star for Yurebko, who had a really good second quarter and finished with 18 points in 18 minutes, his best scoring output of the season for the Warriors, who come back from a 3-1 road trip. And, Matt, it's a rare road trip where I like the loss, I think, as much as I do the wins, because it was not a matter of effort. Warrior effort level upsets me at times. Execution can never really be counted on. It's jump shooting teams miss jump shots some nights, and Curry and Clay missed a ton of jump shots that night, but the effort was there. This was one of their best road trips of the year, and Albie just whispered in my ear that Kevin Durant is still on this road trip. He's going to be in Oklahoma City tonight to retire Nick Collison's jersey, which I got to tell you is a, one, cool thing to do, two, shows that Kevin Durant is not singularly focused but really appreciates teammates who have sacrificed to become who they become, and it might be Kevin Durant's first step back towards a little peace in Oklahoma City by participating in the ceremony tonight.
Yeah, and in the end, in the long run, he's going to have a great relationship there. He spent, 8 years, I believe, in Oklahoma City proper, one in Seattle before that, and they were 8 of the best years that franchise has had and probably will have.
Right, Bond still gets standing ovations when he goes to Pittsburgh.
Exactly. It's going to come back around in that respect. But on the Nick Collison thing, I remember when they announced this, and I'm not sure it was part of the scheduling, but one of the first things I read about it was that Kevin Durant was going to find a way to be there. And it does tell you something about the kind of teammate he was, but maybe more about the kind of teammate Nick Collison was, that a guy like Kevin Durant is going to take time out of his very busy during season schedule to make a special trip to a city he clearly doesn't hold a ton of love for as far as a place to be, and celebrate a guy who, frankly, I don't think ever made an all-star team, was never one of the top 50 players in the league, but was a heck of a teammate.
Well, and again, look, April in Paris, March in Oklahoma City.
It's true.
Don't exactly go together. And he was just there. For him to double back for this, tip of the cap indeed.
Definitely.
And maybe that's got a little to do with the good mood that Kevin Durant was caught in on tape when he was delivering a couple pizzas to some kid's hotel room. Apparently, he ran into a dad in the elevator, and he said, I'm going to deliver pizza to your kids. I don't know any more than that. I just think it's a... How about this? When do you see Kevin Durant walking around carefree, fancy-free, without any sort of air of burden being over him, without a heavy feeling, without a cloud hanging over him. He looked very comfortable, very happy, all smiles. And speaking of all smiles, oh, the kids. The dad was like, do you know who that is? The kid was like, yeah, that's Kevin Durant. Like, what do you mean, do I know who that is? Yes, Dad, I know who this is. What, are you kidding me? Don't ask me such a stupid question in front of Kevin Durant. It was pretty cool. It really was.
Why did you make me look to Kevin Durant like I might not know who Kevin Durant is? What are you doing, Dad?
Right. Who is that? Is that Alfonso McKinney? Is this Alfonso McKinney bringing me a pizza? Dad, how did you arrange this?
That's so cool.
Jordan Bell, you're taller than I thought you would be. 888-957-9570 is the number. Galileo. How about that?
Ooh.
Foster City. How are you, Galileo?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
Just wanted to talk about Andrew Bogut coming back to the team.
Do it.
Yeah, so I think it makes it so that DeMarcus Cousins must play good defense, or we can simply give Bogut more minutes.
Well, look. It's a good player to have in DeMarcus's rearview mirror because there's a clear backup plan that is the same body type that I guess you have, so you know you're not going out of your way to go to Looney or ask Draymond to play the five. It will hopefully keep DeMarcus locked in. I think that DeMarcus has shown us that he's played some of his best basketball just since Andrew Bogut showed up on the Warriors' radar. Now, is that causation? More correlation? I really don't know, but there's nothing wrong with being pushed in life. Not at all. There's nothing wrong with being pushed in life, and I think that this is going to push DeMarcus Cousins to double down on everything the coaching staff is asking him to do because there's a real defense-forward option waiting behind him, and that's got to be good for business.
No question, and I think it also, even without that, this is the part of the season that matters for DeMarcus's personal goals, whether he's playing or not. If he's not playing as much as he'd like to, then the best thing he can do for his personal goals is be quiet and be a good teammate about it, because that's the stuff the league wants to see. I think he's already shown a general manager who might have interest in him in the offseason. He's already shown physically. Give him another offseason to get back in shape. The skills are still there. He's going to be a great player skills-wise. What he has to prove is to the people who had, we're never signing DeMarcus Cousins on their big whiteboard because they thought he was the wrong kind of person for their franchise. He's got to prove to those people, I'm as good a citizen as you want if we're good. Just put me with a good team and look how smooth it goes.
Got a guy in the text line saying, why are the Thunder retiring Nick Collison's number? He was never that good, right? It's correct.
Never played for another franchise.
But
that's one
reason. He's a career Thunder, and he obviously sowed seeds of goodwill with his teammates, with ownership, with the organization, with the fan base. Do I dare say he is a poor man's Udonis Haslam?
Nicknamed Mr. Thunder.
There you go. Mr. Thunder's got to go to the rafters, right?
Yeah, no. It's just one of those things. Sometimes you have a fan favorite, and I think especially in the case of a team that just shows up in a city without much, and then you've got Kevin Durant developing and Russell Westbrook, and those are your stars, but there's that one stalwart, Nick Collison, who was probably in the starting lineup the first day they played a game in Oklahoma City and stayed on the team for the next 6-7 years his whole career. And you want to celebrate that guy.
Well, and they were also KD and he were on the team in Seattle before they moved to Oklahoma City. So these two guys, you know, go back to the dawn of their careers together. And it's very cool that Durant's doing this. It really is. I tell you, watching Warriors historically through this run show up to honor their teammates is commonplace. I mean, we've seen guys, what was it, Ian Clark got his jersey retired at Belmont. The entire team showed up for that. This is a team that shows up to high school jersey retirement ceremonies, and it's cool that they all get along. And I'll tell you, maybe this is, even though it's, you know, Durant getting cozy with another franchise, it I think is a very good sign for happy harmony going forward. Not that this stuff matters, but it does.
Do you feel joy? Say joy.
Yeah, let's get a little joy. Steve Kerr said they found some on the road.
Great trip, great road trip. To go 3-1, you know, against the caliber of competition, with the difficulty of the back to back, you know, last night to tonight, really good trip. And now we got to go home and back it up.
Chilton Autobody text line says, guys, what do you think about Bogut coming back next year and being a contributor to the team? That's from Steven in Vallejo. I don't think that that's on the radar, a long-term plan. I'd be stunned if Andrew Bogut were anything but a cup of coffee to finish off this year in a playoff run. I really doubt that he is in long-term plans of the Golden State Warriors.
I think I agree with you, but Boogie is almost certainly gone. Damian Jones is clearly an injury risk. And Kevon Looney, in all likelihood, costs too much for the Warriors after, I would think, although I thought that last offseason, I would think he's not going to re-sign for another $2 or $4 million. Someone should pay that guy.
I'm not saying he wouldn't fit a need. I don't think his desire is to play an 82-game NBA season going forward.
Well,
this is a guy who had that opportunity, cashed it out, went back to Australia, and then decided, all right, I'm going to buy back into the big poker tournament one more time.
Yeah, but his opportunity after the way things ended with the Lakers and the Cavaliers, his opportunity,
a broken leg, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't know how much real opportunity he had. I certainly don't think he had opportunity to play with a potential champion. If you're looking at he's one of two centers on the roster next year and he would get real minutes and make more money and compete for a title, I wouldn't rule it out, actually.
Yeah, I mean, never say never. Never say never.
But you're right. If he wants to go, the question is, does he want to stay in the States?
Right. What would he want to do? He did just buy a home.
He did. Apparently bought an Oakland house in a matter of hours after touching down from Australia, which I guess when you've made a pile of millions, you can do a thing like that.
But why not?
But yeah, you never know, man. Bogut's a weird guy, too.
Yeah, if you can pick up your Bay Area real estate in the express lane,
that's
you got cake.
You're doing good.
You're doing just fine. How about this? This every now and then, let me tell you, sometimes text line, you make me worried for humanity. Every now and then, you dunk one from the baseline.
I think I know which one it is.
Hey, Damon, O'Donnell Foyle is Golden State's Nick Collison.
Yes.
That probably sums it up perfectly.
The happiest man at Oracle Arena. Love O'Donnell.
O'Donnell's a great
guy. He is the best.
So when he was at Colgate, a buddy of mine was a student there at the same time. He said that when he was dominating, they would go out and buy all the Reynolds wrap down, and they would just put on the foil. The entire student section would be covered in foil, not just dunce caps, like head to toe. They all look like tin men walking around in foil.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
This guy, you gotta love college hoops, which, by the way, I know a lot of people today filled out their bracket because it's got to be in by we're tipping this bad boy off at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Like, if you don't have a play-in game, you know, making taking a game or two, you could have got this in at the end of today. Gambling on the NCAA tournament is one of the hardest things to do in sports. One of the best gambling pieces of advice I was ever given was, it's hard enough to win one game against the spread in the tournament. Stop tying them together. Stop putting together a four-team teaser. You know,
but they're all right there for you.
Right, and that's how you make and that's how you make the huge money. That's how we go in Sizzler tonight. You know, that's how we get upgraded to the Rain Man suite if this four-team teaser comes in.
And it's always a doofus like me who hasn't watched three of the teams all season long, doesn't know the name of any of the players on three out of four of the teams he's betting on, and then he's sure the four-team teaser's coming through.
Right, and you're walking around like, I like Central Michigan money line against North Carolina. Write that down.
Can you name any of the players? No.
Very few. Very, very few. So one of the single best things to do in the first round, not that anything here guarantees you a gambling win, but you could do a lot worse than fading the public. Mm. Basically, the whole country likes X, which means Y is probably going to win the game. How the hell do you think they build that Bellagio fountain? You know, I mean, there's a reason why Vegas loves your business. Here are the biggest public back teams. Northeastern facing Kansas. Kansas is -7, and only 20% of the money is on Kansas. The country likes Northeastern +7 against Kansas. fade the public, lay the seven.
Seven?
Take Kansas.
That's madness.
On. Yeah, but Northeastern. But Northeast. Yeah, but Kansas. What seven. Do you think of that? Liberty against Mississippi State is the second biggest public back. Liberty. 90% of the public money has come in on Liberty. Mississippi State, -6.5, only has 10% of the action. Fade Liberty. Take the Bulldogs, -6.5. And then how about this? This is going to happen right down in San Jose in our own backyard. Cal Irvine in Kansas State. So Cal Irvine, I don't know if you've noticed, is a darling among people who are trying to give you an upset or two in this draft. Like, you gotta back Cal Irvine because they're going to have such a home court advantage in San Jose. 92% of the public money is on them. 92%. 8% of the public is on the team that was the co-Big 12 champ. Kansas State, -5, fade the nation. K-State, Mississippi State, Kansas, write that down. Fade the public. You heard it here first on 95.7 The Game. Did I just do Joe Fortenbaugh shtick?
Did
I just do Fortenbaugh shtick? I think I did. All right. Let's go ahead and take a call. 888-957-9570. So concludes your NCAA tournament gambling tips from Damon Bruce. This is Rich calling from Fremont. How are you, Rich?
Hey, Damon. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about the Kyler Murray thing in Arizona. And the reason why I want to talk about it is because the listening to the show this morning with Joe Long Dibbs, and they kind of touched on this idea that apparently, I guess, Nick Bosa is having either lunch or dinner with the 49ers today.
Yeah, it was Ohio State's pro day, yes. So you've got the entire organization in Columbus courting Bosa tonight.
Right. And so one of the responses was that maybe the thing with Kyler Murray is not real. It's just something that they're using to bait other teams so that Murray can go 3 or 4 in the draft. And I'm like this about it. I don't really care what happens. That's fine if they want to do that, just as long as we get both of them. Because we just signed Dee Ford, and we pick up both, and guess what? We get what we've been after, Niner fans been after for the last 6.5 years, a defense that works.
You would think that if they weren't interested in Bosa, that Justin Houston might have been signed in free agency. The fact that Houston's not here means I think they're looking at Bosa. I think they're looking at Allen. Quinnen Williams, by the way, I saw in a mock draft going to the Niners at 2 today. But they're taking a good, long, hard look at this guy tonight. And I'll tell you, how he acts at dinner and the things that he says about adopting the West Coast lifestyle, if that's what is offered to him, I think goes a long way in terms of his draftability here in the Bay Area. You could say, well, you know, nothing matters but the football player you are. Not here. That's not it. You know, if this guy wants to come out here and be, you know, look, and I'm not trying to go political on you, but I'm just telling you that MAGA hats probably don't go very far in NFL locker rooms. If he is Johnny MAGA to the point where it's going to be that much of an issue, that's maybe what you're looking at tonight at dinner.
I hate to put it in these terms, but I think MAGA hats probably go better in NFL locker rooms overall than you would imagine. I think when you have a 53-man locker room, there are factions within.
I think it goes well with the owner. I think that locker room.
Well, there's certainly dudes in the locker room who are responding negatively. There's also a lot of Southern, white, big country dudes like Bosa. And I think there are plenty of factions within a locker. I think the bigger question here is this is actually the one owner who that hat probably doesn't curry any favor with. And certainly it's an area that might not respond super well to that. And would I be shocked if that's one of the reasons the Niners maybe trade down, get a little more, take a different pass rusher, and then use an extra pick to grab a wide receiver too? It wouldn't shock me.
No, I would not be surprised either if that happened. So this is, you know, these are interesting days. This is a very interesting dinner for this team tonight. To get back to what Rich's original call was about, is Kyler Murray a smokescreen? hey, we're all going to find out together, aren't we? I mean, if he goes number one, no, he wasn't. If he doesn't go number one, yes, he was. I'll tell you what I think is really interesting is all the people who saw the Mike Trout contract and started posting like, well, Kyler Murray totally screwed this up. He needs to go back to baseball now. He is making a huge mistake. Look at that Mike Trout money. Well, look at that Mike Trout money. That's basically reserved for guys who are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers, which Kyler Murray has. How about that? Kyler Murray has a better chance of being a football Hall of Famer than he does a baseball Hall of Famer just by how easier, you know, it's a lot easier for the quarterback to get into the Hall of Fame than it is for anyone at any position to crack Cooperstown. It's that difficult. And when you look at some of just the raw numbers, I thought this was really, really interesting. Kyler Murray was the ninth overall pick in the 2018 Major League Draft. He might be the first overall pick and be the first person ever to go in the top 10 in both our major American amateur drafts. So of the last 20 years, guys who were the ninth pick in the draft reached a Major League contract 13 out of 20 times. That's 65%. Which is pretty good, but that's still seven examples of even though you were a top 10 draft pick, you never even played a major league game. Kyler Murray will be asked to start his first ever NFL game if he is the number one overall pick. There is no guarantee that he even reached the majors. You would say the odds are on his side.
That being said, I do think that the way the A's and baseball were willing to structure his first contract would have equalized that somewhat, because by the same token, how many first-round NFL picks don't get a second contract?
Fair enough. But then the question is, all right, so you really want that Trout money? Well, then that begins. The conversation for Trout money begins with all-star appearances, wouldn't you?
I mean, certainly. That's a starting point.
There's no way you're going to get there without all those all-star appearances. Well, the ninth overall pick in the last 20 years has made the all-star game in Major League Baseball just 3 of 20 times. That's 17 dudes, even though they were drafted in the top 10, who never made an all-star game. So now we're down to 15%. The ninth overall pick has signed a $100 million year contract just once in the last 20 years in Major League Baseball. Now, I don't have what the ninth overall pick performance or the top overall pick performance is when it comes to the the NFL. But look, Kyler Murray, even tabbed to be very successful, is still a baseball long shot. Where, of course, it's going to be a long shot to be drafted anywhere in the NFL draft, number one overall included, but you will be in position to succeed at the highest professional level the very first day of your career as a football player, where you might not reach the majors ever. I mean, that's how it goes. That's just how it goes.
There's a lot in this, but ultimately, I think when we start to ask the questions about, well, in a vacuum, what's the right decision? You know, let's look at the stats of what's a first overall draft pick in the NFL likely to make versus what's a ninth overall draft. That kind of stuff is relevant, but fundamentally ignores reality, which is he's a 23-year-old kid. The decision's going to be made and was made based on what do I prefer to do with my life? And what he preferred to do with his life was play football. If he preferred to play baseball with his life,
he's 21, by the way.
Even better. Yeah. Then all of that stuff you just said wouldn't matter to him. The fact that a ninth overall pick has only made a major league contract 13 out of 20 times, that's not the way a guy who just became the ninth pick thinks about it. What he thinks about it is, I'm awesome, I'm going to go places. He's not going to think, well, 7 out of 20 didn't make it here, and then 7 out of 15 first picks overall.
Right, it's like Han Solo. Never tell me the odds.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I'm just here to play. I'm here to make the Kessel run.
Exactly. And if he loves football deep down more than he loves baseball, then you could throw 1,000 stats about how his earning potential in baseball is slightly higher, and it wouldn't matter.
Now, when it comes to earning potential in baseball, the amount of money that was just paid for four guys is incredibly significant. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado. $1.32 billion worth of contracts for just four players. Very interesting article that we're about to get into from Jason Stark about how Major League Baseball is really going to put itself behind the eight ball. What he's basically saying is without a little bit of collusion here. If you cannot pay NBA salaries on a Major League Baseball team because there isn't a single guy anywhere on a baseball team who can affect wins and losses the way a guy can on a basketball team. Like, Mike Trout could go 4-for-4 in every single game he played. He could have 1,000 on the season, and the Angels might not have a winning record. That is absolutely in the cards. The Angels might not have a winning record with him going through the entire year without recording a single out. And that is the difference. And that is something that baseball needs to consider as it is basically doing away with its middle class and looking at a sport where two or three guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars while the rest of the lineup is the major league minimum. This is an unsustainable future business model. Some compelling stuff here from Jason Stark that we're about to get into. Your phone calls we're about to get into, 888-957-9570. We're going to be giving away a pair of Black Keys tickets when we play the name game at 6 o'clock. And we'll also let you know that 24 hours from now, we will be concluding what we hope is a phenomenal interview with Steph Curry. Steph Curry joining us live at 5 o'clock. Well, not live. Live on tape. How about that? I'm going to go over to Warriors practice. But Steph Curry joining us tomorrow in our 5 o'clock hour. Should be good stuff. Always good stuff with Gianna Franco.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Really good to have you around today. Matt Kolsky around with us today. You should come around at the top of the hour if you'd be interested in tickets to go see the Black Keys before they even go on sale. We're going to be playing the name game at 6 o'clock. The winner of tonight's name game gets a pair of tickets to the Black Keys at Chase Center before they even go on sale. So nice little treat for yourself. Be listening at 6 o'clock tonight. Call in for a chance to win.
I've seen them four or five times, and it's a great show.
Good Killer. Life.
Yeah?
Nice.
Very good life.
Nice. I want to talk a little bit about baseball economics, and I don't want to make it boring on you at all, but look, sports are copycat. Every single sport is a copycat league to one extent or the other. Sometimes it is an on-field strategical level of copycatting. Think of the Wildcat offense. No one had one in football, then everyone had one in football, then no one had one in football. You know
Shifts
what I mean?
Shifts in baseball?
Absolutely. There is an awful lot of copycatting all over the place. The wide open spread nature of NFL offenses. Nobody is running a straight up West Coast. Nobody runs out of the power eye anymore. I mean, it's copycat everywhere you look. And one of the new copycats, not strategically, but economically in sports, has been the model that has delivered an awful lot of success to the Kansas City Chiefs and to the Los Angeles Rams, who are teams with good, capable young quarterbacks on rookie deals, which allows them to spread money far and wide on both sides of the ball at every other position than the position that normally takes up the lion's share of anybody's cap. If you got a cooking quarterback at a good number, well, again, you're the envy of every single general manager in the NFL, and they're all trying to copycat that formula. I want to bring it to baseball. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Nolan Arenado, again, $132 billion worth of contracts for just four guys. To give you an idea of what that is greater than the gross domestic, the gross national product of the Solomon Islands.
That
those four
seems
guys.
Significant.
Those four guys who are coming in 0.31 short of. How about this? So $1.32 billion worth of contracts for Trout, Harper, Machado, and Arenado, that's more money than the Tampa Bay Rays have spent on their total payroll in the history of their franchise. 21 seasons. By the way, the Rays are now old enough to drink.
Yikes.
21 seasons. The Rays haven't even spent $1.1 billion on 21 seasons worth of rosters, $1.32 billion on four guys. Jason Stark writes a fascinating article saying that these are interesting times in baseball. $1.3 billion for Trout, Harper, Machado, and Arenado. What's really amazing isn't the money, but where it came from. That money came from the Angels, the Phillies, the Padres, and the Rockies, not the Yankees, not the Red Sox, which means you now have teams that can't necessarily afford to spend like the Yankees and Red Sox, spending like the Yankees and Red Sox. Well, what could go wrong with that? Well, the problem is that this isn't the NBA. And in the NBA, two or three stars, if they're star-studded enough, can change the heartbeat of your entire organization, can take you from a team that's not in the playoffs to a team that is a two seed. One or two superstar guys signed at top dollar do that. Again, before we went to break, Matt, we were saying that Mike Trout could go 4-for-4 in every single game for the Angels this year. It guarantees them nothing. There's no chance. There is a chance that they're a sub-500 team with him putting up the single greatest season baseball's ever seen.
He could put up literally four. He could literally bat 1,000, and there'd still be no guarantee that the Angels would go to the playoffs or even be a good team. And on one hand, I see the problem with that. On the other hand, I do wonder if maybe a team like the Padres is sort of onto something. Because if I'm going to overspend, say, on Eric Hosmer, who was the guy they signed there? Will Myers, I guess, and Manny Machado. Okay, because the middle class has disappeared to such an extent that I am going to be able to fill out my roster with guys on near minimum deals who are actually decent players. The Gerardo Parras of the world, if you will. So maybe even San Diego can afford to spend $300 million on Manny Machado because the guys who used to cost a few million here or there now cost one or two.
All sounds well and good until you realize that you don't have a real starting pitcher after your second guy comes out of the rotation.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So you can have the most robust lineup and spend a lot of money there, but if you don't have the pitching, that's enough to send you home. If you don't have the bullpen, that's enough to send you home. This is a major problem that baseball is sort of steering itself directly into as we have team after team after team entering the non-competitive era, of some people have called it, where you're not even trying to win. You're not even trying to sign free agents. You're really trying to do this with farm-raised kids on major league minimums while you control their arbitration years. Like it is different than the sport we grew up watching. And you now have, you have franchises that can't afford. See, the Yankees, it's not the amount of money they have to spend that should scare you. It's just that the fact that no mistake cripples them. The Yankees signed Jacoby Ellsbury for a deal that is worth approximately $4 trillion. He hasn't played a game. He sucks. When Jacoby Ellsbury read how insignificant he is to the New York Yankees, he had to go back on the disabled list because he probably strained his eyes. I mean, he is a nothing. One of the all-time busts. Had any team in baseball taken on an albatross contract like that, it probably would have sunk him. The Yankees? They can punt him the hell out of the Bronx, pay him in full, and move on like it never happened. What are the Padres going to do if Machado goes belly up? Well, I mean, that
they're going to stink for a decade.
Yeah, well, and you could say, well, they stunk for the decade before that, so who cares?
That's right.
But baseball is now basically making a deal with the devil where 10% of the guys make 90% of the money, which leaves 10% of the money for 90% of the guys, and those 90% of the guys have as much to do with where you're going or as to where you're not going as the guys that you gave all the money to. So where is baseball when it comes to financial allocation and doing it the right way? Again, if you've got a treasure trove that goes to infinity, This is no big deal for you.
But that's team, three or four teams.
The teams that just made these deals, the Angels, the Phillies, the Padres, the Rockies, are not among those teams.
That's right. And someone brought up the Red Sox could do that with Pablo Sandoval. They basically wrote off that huge contract they gave him when it didn't work out, and no worries, we'll still sign the other guys. The Giants, theoretically, might even be in that camp too, but the longest you could make that list is five or seven teams. And that leaves the vast majority of your sport where, on one side, in order to compete with those teams, you're going to have to pay a guy like Machado or Harper $300 or $350 million. But on the other hand, if you gamble on the wrong guy, it could torpedo your franchise for a very long time.
Yeah, and so congratulations. You've got a perennial all-star getting paid through the nose, surrounded by, you know, quadruple A players who are on the verge of maybe or maybe not being major leaguers. Now, having said all that, let's talk about what's happening today. You're seeing these deals go down. I'm looking at Scott Boras, and, you know, this is a guy who just went out of his way, dragged his client through 6 months of bad press to reach a total that was eclipsed by the next guy in a grand total of 18 days. And you gave up every single fraction of player option in your career to hold on to a financial title that only you held on to for just 18 days. Scott Boras and Mike Trout, again, or excuse me, Scott Boras and Bryce Harper have laughing all the way to the bank money. I don't know if they're laughing. Like, I don't know if they really look at this and they say, all right, well, we made the right play. We wanted the biggest number in the history of the game, and that was what we were going to be staking our reputation on. And yes, we like the Phillies and their development, but at the same time, we just agreed to show up to get booed out of the stadium the minute we roll over to second. And that's going to happen. 30% of Philly fans will be there to boo Bryce Harper back to whence he came from just because Philly's full of, you know, just sports jackasses. I mean, I love them, but it's the truth.
You know who doesn't care about that is Scott Boras.
No, he doesn't.
Bryce Harper may
eventually
come to regret it.
Yeah.
He might. Because if especially if he hits 250 for the next 3 years and Philly fans are then angry at him for the next 10, that he may come to regret. I don't think Scott Boras cares that it was eclipsed. I think what Scott Boras cares about is the headline the day the deal is signed. Because let me tell you something. People's memories don't function that well. I still have folks talking about Kwon Alexander being the highest paid inside linebacker, and yet that's not even true anymore. And that happened in days. So Scott Boras won the day they signed a deal that was the biggest deal in Major League Baseball history. And for the rest of time, when people Google that deal, it will say it was the largest in Major League Baseball history when it was signed. And the next time Scott Boras has a guy who's one of the best players in the league available, once again, he'll sign the biggest deal in history, and once again, it will be eclipsed shortly thereafter. But Scott Boras will still be the guy who got you the biggest deal available when it was available.
Or Major League free agency is about to change so dramatically that this Trout number is going to stay up on that board for decades. Because guess what? If you have a great player, letting him hit free agency is now something that no team in baseball is about to do. Look at what is just happening today. Alex Bregman, 6-year extension, $100 million with the Houston Astros. Now you can say, well, man, that guy absolutely delivers. If I'm the Astros, I am doing that. The Chicago White Sox are in an agreement on a 6-to-8-year extension with a top outfield prospect, Eloy Jimenez.
Oh, jeez.
Who hasn't even had a major league at-bat yet.
You know what my response to that is as a White Sox fan? Thank God they're not paying somebody who has been having major league at-bats the last few years, because none of those have looked any good. But, so at least it's a guy that might be good.
Yeah, but here we are. Like, when you look at the ones that got away, folks, the ones that got away have been are not coming back on the market anytime soon. How about this? The only way the San Francisco Giants are going to find greatness now is by drafting and having the patience to develop it, because greatness either was just sold and won't hit the market again, or is now not going to be hitting the market at all because GMs are looking at guys and saying, it will cost me less to overpay today before he's reached his potential than it will be for me to try to buy him back if he does reach his potential.
Yeah.
And you're going to have major league general managers betting on promise the way that general managers in the NBA do that. And I do not know if that is the right direction for baseball to go into.
You're right. You're not going to have a choice. What it comes down to is you're going to have to make your decisions on baseball prospects much earlier. Even if they don't change the pay structure and reduce the years of arbitration, which I think would be a good idea, you're just going to have to make those decisions earlier because you're not going to want to give anybody the ability to reach the open market after a good year. That's what it comes down to. The one thing I would add is hopefully, particularly for the Giants' sake, you will also still have the avenue of trading an established player for one of those prospects, because that is how the White Sox got Eloy Jimenez. And that is the Giants' best hope moving forward, is that a Madison Bumgarner can be flipped for the sort of guy you'll eventually want to
invest
in.
Was he in the Chris Sale trade?
He was in the Quintana trade, actually.
Ah, okay. All right. 888-957-9570. Steve Marin, what you got?
Thanks for taking my call. It feels as if one or two or maybe even three baseball players will not make a difference as one or two major basketball players will do for a team. Hence, you don't want to overpay for a superstar because they just won't add that much. I think I saw something at Bryce Harper's extra wins that he guarantees or he should provide a team is something like two or three. They just don't move one player does not move the needle. So why would you pay somebody, a disproportionate amount of money for one player? It just doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me now, Steve, either. And you know, look, if you are there is no budget level franchise, I think you can make huge bets like this. And if they don't pay off, it doesn't cripple you. Again, I see a formula where the Colorado Rockies don't have a season that lands them above 500. First of all, it's tough for the Rockies to just have a free agent choose Colorado, who is a pitcher, you know, unless they're going to drop the Mike Hampton money, school district level money on them.
Good, and remember, he was going to hit a couple homers too. So.
Good Colorado school system. Baseball is looking more like the NBA. And again, the NBA probably goes out of its way to tank more than any other sport. And now here we go.
The difference is in baseball, tanking doesn't provide the same clear benefit.
No.
The advantage of picking top five in baseball versus picking anywhere else is much smaller than the NBA. In the NBA, odds are the top 3 to 7 guys are significantly better than the rest of the draft in any given year and have a significantly bigger effect. So just look at this year. Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, Ja Morant, and I've never heard of anybody else in college basketball or who's going to be in this draft. Now, there's going to be a couple guys that come up and end up being good NBA players, but basically, there's between 2 and 5 guys in this draft, depending on who you ask. Baseball's not like that.
Damon, so based on your assessment, the Oakland A's have been making good decisions as an organization? Yes.
Yeah. Look at
absolutely. Look at the young group of talent that they have. Ultimately, and this is why the Giants hired Farhan Zaidi.
Exactly.
Is he picks and chooses his value, just like the A's front office does, with the ability to reach back for that big payday when you see the free agent that you think can really make a difference. The best of both worlds is the right way to do it. The wrong way to do it is like the A's only. And the wrong way to do it lately, I guess, has been like the Yankees only. You know, it really is. The truth is somewhere in the middle. The best way to get it done, the best way to build a team really is somewhere in the middle.
Dodgers, Astros.
Yeah.
There's a reason these teams have had a lot of success over the last few years, and both of them are built around big, successful prospects and a couple big investments.
Chicago Cubs.
Cubs, same thing.
Look at the drafted, developed talent, and then look at the sprinkles of free agents that they added around. I mean, that's kind of how you want to do it.
And that's the problem with the A's of the last decade, is they don't then have the financial wherewithal to spend the money to fill in those couple of big names, big contracts that might push you over the top. And the hope is, this time around, as these young guys ascend, they will do that. That's your hope with the A's, is that this time is different. When Chapman and Olson and all these young pitchers are ready, that one last piece you need to sign for $20 million a year, hopefully you'll be able to.
Feels like a long shot, and I don't even know who it is or what year that might be.
Right.
But just looking at past history, you can't help but use that to predict the future. 888-957-9570. I'll tell you what, you're allowed to start lining up right now for the name game. I'm going to give you one clue. One clue. Road trip. That's it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not even saying what sport. Road trip. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's the only clue I'm giving you. That's it.
Can I tell you a road trip related fact about me? That's bizarre, and I don't know why I thought of it just now. But
please.
The old film Road Trip, I'm sure you're familiar.
Is that Tom Green?
Tom Green,
yeah,
featured?
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Breckenmeyer. And also DJ Qualls. You familiar with DJ Qualls?
Breaking Bad fame.
For years, I thought he was just a DJ.
Yes.
It never occurred to me that DJ were his first two initials, and I was like, it is weird that this guy goes by his DJ name in acting performances.
He doesn't give off a very big follow me to the club vibe.
No.
He looks like one of those skinny British, like, all-night EDM DJs to me.
Okay.
You know? Like a dude you find at 4 a.m. in a club in Brixton.
Like you take Danger Mouse's mouse helmet off, and
right.
It looks and like that guy.
That's exactly right.
All right, then. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know where I come up with this stuff, man.
That's good stuff. Hey, Damon, the Yankees develop talent, too. They sure do. They do that. They also have the ability to use that talent that they develop to flip for a player that they know that they've got the ability to extend going forward, and that's why they're going to go ahead and make the deal that gets you the player that becomes A-Rod or the player that becomes Giancarlo Stanton. You got to move an awful lot of your and that this is where the Giants are just hamstrung right now. Like, this is why the Giants probably should have overextended themselves for a guy like Bryce Harper, because one, a guy like Bryce Harper ain't going to be hitting the market anytime soon, and two, a guy like Bryce Harper is nowhere to be found anywhere in your organization at any level. You are coming up short in terms of impressive prospects pretty much around the horn and right through your pitching staff as well.
The good news is, like you said, that's what Farhan does. So hopefully, moving forward, it starts to look a little different. And if it does, then maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now, we're talking about a Joey Bart-led Giants team that's really sharp. But right now, it's hard to see the specific path to that because of how little they have.
You can go ahead and get in line right now. Again, 888-957-9570. We're going to be playing the name game at the top of the hour, where you get a chance to give us a name in sports that is two first names. You can ask a question, yes or no questions only. If you hear a yes, you can ask another question to narrow down your choice, or you can take a stab at it. If you hear a no, you're going to hear a dial tone, because we're going to hang up and move to the next person.
Harsh.
And again, we're going to be playing for Black Keys tickets. The Let's Rock Tour with special guest Modest Mouse is coming to Chase Center November 20th, and you can win them before you can buy them. I actually got a guy saying, Damon, I don't know much about the Black Keys. Look, good stripped-down rock band really is. My favorite Black Keys song is called I'm Not the One. This is a sexy song. This is a song you want to be drinking a little whiskey to at the end of the bar. Great intro. That's got some soul right there. That's pretty good right there. They're a good band. Kolsky endorses the live show. I've never seen them live.
Nor have I.
Dan Auerbach, the guitarist and lead singer, is about as good of a blues guitarist as you'll come across. They put on a great show. And I've been going to see them since they were a two-piece, and I think they're up to five now. So it's a lot of fun.
By the way, I reported that a member of the Black Keys had passed away. It was a member of their touring band. The Black Keys are basically two guys, and as long as those two guys are there, you get the Black Keys. But if you're interested, if you want to go ahead, pick up a free pair of tickets. All you got to do is be the person who comes up with the right name for the name game, and we're doing that in just a moment. Here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.